We are back. We have a lot of stuff to go over tonight in this episode. Mitchell Robinson trade rumors. We have Paul George trade rumors. And let's not forget, it is draft week. Let's go. They're playing
basketball.
You're listening to the Knicks Nation Podcast, where we've got all your Knicks needs covered.
Puts up a three. Bang! Bang! He ties the game!
Now, live from the city that never sleeps, here are your hosts, Anthony and Chris.
What is going on, Knicks Nation? Look who's back. It's been a few weeks. Chris and I are back. This is episode 55 of the Knicks Nation Podcast. Appreciate every single one of you joining tonight. Feels good to be back. We've missed it. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. But first, Chris, how's your summer going, man? How's it been?
It's been hot. It's been humid. We're in some crazy ass, you know, heat wave. But I'm doing all right, man. Doing all right. Enjoying the summer. You know, the upcoming summer. Summer's coming up. We got the draft coming up, obviously. Lots of questions surrounding the Knicks. And I'm happy to be back, man. I missed this. How you been, man?
I missed it too. I'm not going to lie to you, man. Look, a lot of stuff is going on. I see all of you in the chat. Big Taz, John, what's going on? Carlos, what's going on? Kelvin Hader, what's going on? A lot of stuff to talk about tonight. The heat is going around. Obviously, it's summer. First day of the summer was, 3 days ago? So, look, we're starting to hear a lot of rumors about Mitchell Robinson. We're starting to hear a lot of rumors about, not a lot, but Paul George's name has been mentioned. And obviously, we have some draft rumors. Well, Knicks have two picks back-to-back in this coming draft. Where do you want to start, Chris? I mean, it's just a lot going on, you know? It's a lot going on.
You know what? Let's start with the draft stuff, you know? Let's go through that.
All right, so the New York Knicks, let's start with the draft stuff. The New York Knicks have two draft picks in this coming draft. Obviously, it's been a couple years now where we haven't picked a first round draft pick. Obviously, we got screwed last year by the Dallas Mavericks, but this year we have picks 24 and 25. The question is, will they use both of them? I'm pretty confident they will use one of them. I'm not sure they will use both. I'm not sure they would use both of them. So, obviously, we have some names here that I'm going to put on my screen for you guys. It's a lot of names, right? Obviously, the Knicks, they want to see everybody in the process. You go through the process. You want to bring everyone in the training facility, which is in Tarrytown, and we just go from there. But the hot name, Chris, that has been on pretty much going throughout YouTube, throughout Knicks Twitter, has been the number one name on this list, and his name is Ryan Dunn. So as you can see the list here, it's a lot of names where the Knicks have, who the Knicks have worked out. And there's a trend in this list, Chris. There's a trend.
Yeah.
What's the trend?
There are a lot of, you know, power forward and big guys, just wing type players, and to be honest, a lot of the more defensive minded players at that.
And look, Ryan Dunn has been, he's from Virginia, he's probably the most skilled defensive player in this draft. They're the experts are calling him the most elite draft defenders in this draft. So as you know, Tom Thibodeau loves those guys. We have one in OG Anunoby that we'll talk about. Hopefully that he'll will re-sign with us. But yeah, you see the trend here. They want wings. They want power forwards. And there's a few point guards sprinkled in here, right? There's a few point guards. I see a few point guards sprinkled in here. Tristan Newton from UConn. He's a point guard. And then you have Joseph Girard from Clemson. Then from Jameer Young from Maryland. Zach Edey was also a name who the Knicks were interested in. I don't think that, you know, they're going, that he will last until our picks, but that'll be awesome if he does. But Where do you want them to go in this draft, Chris? Obviously, what they're telling us is they want guys who can defend and who have some, you know, they want like Ryan Dunn, right? Let's start with Ryan Dunn.
Yeah.
He shoots 20% from three. Great defender, but his offense still needs some game. Still needs some work. Yeah. So where do you want them? Do you want them to draft two players with their picks? Or do you want them to punt one down the road, maybe pick up another second round pick, or maybe pick up another first round pick down the road? It's a weak draft, but yeah.
It's tough to say, right? Because we're at this moment now where obviously, you know, with the Knicks, we're like, we want to compete now. Now is the time to compete, go get the big fish if it's out there, if it fits for us, you know? It makes me feel like, you know, there's not a lot of time for development per se. So I'm actually on the same boat as you where I think the Knicks are probably going to, you know, take one player because we haven't drafted a player since, what, Trevor Keels, I believe. Was Trevor Keels actually drafted, or was he – he wasn't even – I can't remember.
I'll look that up while you still talk. I think he was drafted.
But, yeah, but that's where I'm going. I'm basically thinking the Knicks are going to take one of these players. I feel like it would be someone like a Ryan Dunn type that maybe, you know, he's not going to play right away. They're going to develop him. But maybe if they needed him to come in and spell, you know, due to injury and can come in and play some defense – maybe that's something, you know, that intrigues the Knicks in that scenario. But I don't see, even if the Knicks do draft somebody in this draft, I don't see them playing right away.
Yeah, Keels was in the second round, 42, pick 42 in the second round.
So then, yeah, so, it's been since then. Yeah. So the Knicks definitely need to inject some youth. But I do feel like maybe it'll be one pick and that's it.
Yeah, because as we all know, look, I think... I think they're going to take one, at least one. Maybe they'll take two because you need some youth, you need to eject some youth in this team. Obviously, we're young. We're one of the youngest teams in the NBA. We're not saying, you know, the Knicks are an old team, but you kind of need to reset the contracts a little bit because, as you know, it can get pretty expensive with the Isaiah Hartenstein contract coming up, the OG Anunoby contract coming up that we'll talk about in a few. But yeah, it's going to get pretty expensive with these guys, and you don't really want to fall under that apron because then you would have to pay tax. And, you know, we don't want to do that. Knicks are kind of below that. It depends if they, how the money works with Hartenstein, how the money works with OG Anunoby, because once you pay both of them, then we're kind of getting there, kind of getting close to it. But I already see some comments. But yeah, draft is Thursday. It's Thursday, right? This Thursday, and Knicks have two picks, and we'll be all over that. But what I really wanted to get to is, obviously, OG Anunoby's name has been in the headlines, and Isaiah Hartenstein's name has been in the headlines. I guess we can start with OG Anunoby, Chris. So you said before the pod that you were nervous about OG Anunoby coming back.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, look, we've already seen a few deals get done with, you know, players that are up for extension or whatnot. There's in the new CBA, it's been, you know, it's a new thing this season, I believe, where teams that have the player are able to talk to them ahead of time before free agency hits and negotiate with them and come to a, you know, if possible, come to a new contract with them. And for me, with OG Anunoby, we heard all the good news in the past. OG is looking to take a discount if needed, X, Y, and Z. Granted, that was before the Knicks went, what, 23 and what, with OG Anunoby? But look, I'm nervous because there's been a report out there floating around saying that he wasn't happy with what the Knicks came up to him and, you know, offered. So, in my opinion, a player like OG Anunoby, yes, he's not an all-star or anything like that. I get it. He's going to demand the big bucks simply because of what he does defensively and his all-around game. And there's not too many of them around. Yeah. I don't like the, you know, letting him go into testing the waters in free agency and getting other bids because it might not work out in our favor, man. It makes me nervous just thinking that, you know, what if there's a little bit of animosity there and OG's like, they kind of lowballed me. Let me see what Philly's offering me.
Philadelphia is the only team that I'll say that, you know, we have to watch, because Philadelphia, there was a report from Shams that they're kind of off the Paul George sweepstakes. But I think the only two teams are the Magic and the Philadelphia 76ers that will essentially cause a threat for OG Anunoby to leave. But me personally, I don't think he's leaving, Chris. I think that report was just him and his agent just trying to put pressure on the Knicks, trying to make the Knicks nervous to maybe up the contract. But ultimately, I do think Anunoby and the Knicks will come to an agreement. Look, you could now negotiate with your own free agents. So OG Anunoby and Isaiah Hartenstein, I'm pretty sure they're negotiating with the Knicks. But nothing is done yet. Today is June 23rd. So it's Hartenstein. I think Anunoby is ultimately going to sign, whether it's going to be, when that contract comes out, it's going to look like a lot. But trust me, it's going to be worth it, and the new TV deal is coming, so that contract will be worth it in the long run. But look, OG is valuable to this team, Chris. I mean,
yeah.
I just think the Knicks are going to get this done. Him and his agent is what, Leon Rose's son? So I think, not that that matters, but I just feel like the Knicks are going to make him, you know, comfortable with the offer. And I just think that report that came out was just OG Anunoby and his agent just kind of buying themselves some ties, maybe get some other teams to up their offer a little bit. They're just trying to get as much offers on the table, but there's not that many teams with cap space out there. So I just think he's going to, I just think you need to calm down a little bit. I think he's going to stay.
I'll try, man. I mean, I've heard reports, and I'm sorry off the top of my head, I can't think of the teams, but there's a couple teams that could create the space if needed, but who's to say that they're actually going after an OG Anunoby? You know, I just think out of the two, OG and Ihart, OG's the one that, you know, makes me the most nervous. I have a feeling Ihart's going to stay with us. But with OG, man, look, if we don't have OG Anunoby, you know, how are we matching up with, you know, a team like the Celtics, right? That's the way that I look at it.
Exactly. And I saw a lot of people in the, like, people were commenting, like, that this would be the worst trade ever. The RJ Barrett quickly trade if OG Anunoby was to leave. I wouldn't go that far because the Knicks unloaded. Look, Barrett was a good player and obviously Quick. And Quick is due for a contract this summer as well. But I wouldn't say that. But I just feel like, you know, there's a lot of pondering going out there. There's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of, like, they're playing games out there. And this is what they do. This is what agents do. They try to up their prices on their free agents. And if anyone was to sign first, I believe it would be OG Anunoby and then Hartenstein. Because I think Hartenstein is kind of holding out for like the Thunder, for instance. Let me get to this. Nick Yak says in the chat, if OG doesn't resign, would hate to be Leon's son around the Thanksgiving table. Look, man, it's a business at the end of the day, right? When that report did come out, though, that OG wasn't happy with the Knicks' offer, who reported it? Brian Windhorst, out of all people. Windhorst was on ESPN, and he reported that, you know, they weren't thrilled with what the Knicks were offering. I just was like, I wasn't nervous at all. And I'm still not nervous, you know? That's how confident I feel in this OG and Anunoby deal. But yeah, talk to me if this doesn't get done, then I'll have a different feeling. But like, I just never thought, you know, I go back to the playoff series versus the Indiana Pacers where OG laid it out on the line. He couldn't run. He risked his body out there. There's just no way he would do that without like some sort of like wink, wink, like, yo, we're going to pay you. So don't worry about it.
Or just to play devil's advocate here, what if he just did it to kind of, you know, stop that little stigma where, you know, everybody thinks he refuses to play through pain or injuries? Could that be was out there twofold, too. You know, could be that twofold.
That was out there too. But ultimately, I think he's going to get like, you're going to see it. He's going to get like 30, 35 million a year. And the Brunson extension, it's looking like Brunson is going to listen to the Knicks about an extension. Ian Begley has been reporting that. Randall is sort of looking like, we got some random news at the end of the pod that, well, he's ahead of schedule that he said on 7 p.m. in Brooklyn. But that extension is looking like it won't happen until next year. So, look, all in all, there's two guys we got to worry about, obviously. Anunoby and Hartenstein. I guess we can go to Hartenstein now, Chris.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say on Anunoby before we head to Hartenstein?
No, man. We just need to re-sign him. Simple as that, man. I need OG Anunoby back.
Yeah. I mean, especially you see the big dogs in Boston, man. You need someone to put on Tatum and Jaylen Brown. So OG Anunoby is very valuable, and he will get paid, and he will – look, injury, durability is a question.
Yeah.
But does he get hurt? Yeah. But at the end of the day, when he is on the court, you see the numbers. You see how the Knicks play with him. He literally took the Knicks from – remember, before the trade, they were terrible. One of the worst defensive teams in the league. After the trade, we all saw it. Playoffs versus Philly, dominating, dunking on Embiid. You pay the man.
Yeah.
You pay the man.
No question. No question, man. Not only that, he transformed the way the team operated in general. And I always say, Julius Randle looked completely different with OG Anunoby out there on the court. So that's what I want to see more of, man. Hopefully the Knicks get it done soon.
Yeah, let's hit some of these comments. John, and I appreciate every single one of you in here. Smash the like button. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so already. John says, him getting other offers are just to see what other teams would guarantee all the money. Knicks probably putting in how many games he has to play. Yeah, they're probably putting in some incentives that he has to hit. Look, you got to hit 65 to 70 games if you want this amount of money. And as they should, right? I mean, he hasn't played 70-plus games, I think he's once or twice in his career. So it is a concern, but you put those incentives in to protect yourself, and that's what good organizations do. John says, I heart re-signing too. That's why they're looking to trade Mitch. Yeah, we're going to transfer into that conversation in a second. Nick Yak says, we have all seen how much he missed Mitch. Last two games, the Pacers destroyed Hartenstein, 60-plus points in the paint, out-rebounded. Windhorse is a clown. Don't believe anything he says. Just Knicks, what's going on? Jake Fisher said that it depends who you ask. He had a problem with the Nova boys. Who? Come back to us. Who?
Ooh, I haven't heard that.
But yeah, let's go over to Isaiah Hartenstein. So the most the Knicks can offer Hartenstein is... what, like 4 for 72? Something like that?
Yeah, 4 for 72.
The only thing you should be worried about is if OKC comes in at a short-term deal, like 2 for like 55 or something like that, that's giving Isaiah Hartenstein 20-plus million a year. That's like 22.5 million a year. That's 5 million more per year than the Knicks. In my opinion, Hartenstein said back when, I think he was with the Clippers, he would have stayed with the Clippers if they would have offered him similar money, but they didn't.
Yeah.
Hartenstein is another one, Chris. Do you feel like the money that OKC can offer Hartenstein? I'm just saying OKC because that's the team that's been linked to Isaiah Hartenstein. If they were to give him 2 for 58 or something like that with a second year player option to kind of entice him to go to OKC and kind of steal him from New York, knowing that the Knicks can only offer him like 17 mil per year. Then it comes down to what? It comes down to what Isaiah Hartenstein wants. Yeah. And the culture has just been so strong over these last like couple of years that I just feel like, in my opinion, the long-term deal, I think he's going to want more stability. You know, just had a baby. Congrats to him and his wife. I think he's married. I don't know if he's married or not, but
yeah,
I think
yeah.
He's going to want more years rather than more money. I could be wrong.
I think that's the truth. I think that's the truth. And I think he like that same, I forgot when he mentioned it, but he did when he spoke back on his days with the Clippers, how he wanted to stay with the Clippers. He actually said, hey, the money wasn't that important. You know, I was comfortable there. I had a good role. I was willing to take less. And by the time he got back to them, they were like, hey, that ship sailed. Sorry. Ended up with the Knicks, thankfully. And I think it's going to be a similar situation because we've heard him say it. You know, I'm on the Knicks. He loves it here. He has a bigger role than he did with even the Clippers. I mean, now he's a starting center. So you're talking about wanting a role. It doesn't get any bigger than that, in my opinion, being the starting center for the New York Knicks, right?
Yeah.
And if he goes to OKC, is he a backup? Is he a starter? Like, I really don't see the fit with moving someone like Chet Holmgren from the five to the four. That doesn't make sense to me. But whatever. I honestly feel a lot more positive about Ihart than I do OG Anunoby at this point. I think Ihart definitely stays. He has the role here. He's a starter. And I think, like you said, he wants stability. Plus, his wife is a model. And what better place to be in than New York for models, you know? I don't know what they got over at OKC when it comes to modeling. But I know New York is the mecca for modeling as well.
Hey, take all these into consideration, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they have some model agencies in OKC, but I mean, that's the thing. Like, is the extra $8 million per year going to entice him, you know?
Yeah.
Is that going to really, like, if he takes that, then he's going to make a lot of people, I know a lot of people will wish him luck in OKC or wherever, but I'll be upset. I'm not going to lie to you. Because if the Knicks re-sign Hartenstein, then obviously that's the reason why we have Mitchell Robinson rumors. But if Hartenstein goes to OKC or somewhere, then the Knicks are in kind of a pickle, you know?
Yeah.
They're like, dang, we wanted to trade Mitchell Robinson, but now Hartenstein went somewhere else. So we essentially need Mitchell Robinson now, right? Because
that wouldn't be the ideal situation, obviously, but I'd be shocked if something like that happened, to be honest.
Yeah.
I almost feel like they have to know Ihart is good to go. You know, that's a done deal type of thing, in my opinion. Just to allow the Mitchell Robinson news kind of creep out there, you know, in my opinion.
Yeah, so look, ultimately, I think Hartenstein takes the 4 for 72 from the New York Knicks. Obviously, I'm a Knicks fan, so it's like, look, I think OG Anunoby's going to stay. I think Isaiah Hartenstein's going to stay. But it's just the culture. We built culture, and you know, the exit interviews just told me, like, job ain't finished, man. These guys are gonna come back stronger than ever, and we're trying to build something here. And look, if Hartenstein wants more money, you can't hold him to it, right? I mean, money talks, man. I mean, that's a lot of money. If you're talking about an extra like $16 to $20 million guaranteed, that's generational wealth. I know that it sounds crazy, but, you know, it is what it is. I mean, I couldn't even sniff that amount of money. Like, I wish. Yeah. But I can't even put myself in his shoes. Like, I'm getting 4 for 72 guaranteed.
Yeah. I would love to be in those shoes where I'm turning down millions of dollars, you know? Like, that's not something easy. And like you said, it must be a really difficult situation when you get presented, hey, you could stay here, or, you know, here's $115 million somewhere else or something like that. You know, again, all speculation. We're just, you know, chopping it up. But, you know, it has to be tough, man. And I wish I could sniff that type of money.
For real, man. So, look, man, it's coming up. You know, Knicks can negotiate with both of them. They probably are negotiating with both of them. But I'm sure OG Anunoby, the team you want to watch for is the Philadelphia 76ers with OG Anunoby. They have a lot of cap space, man. They have a lot of cap space. And if they're sort of pivoted away from Paul George, who knows? You know, who knows how much they offer if they were to offer Anunoby a contract or somebody. Hartenstein is, you know, obviously another one that we're worried about. But I see everyone in the comments kind of like, look, they're coming back. I'm confident. Guys, stop listening to the reporters. This front office don't leak anything to anybody.
That is true. The Knicks front office is definitely tight-lipped. That's why when I start seeing things about, you know, Knicks talking here and there to Mitchell, you know, regarding Mitchell Robinson and things like that, that's when it catches my ear, because you usually don't really hear too much of that, especially with when it comes to this front office. So, you know, that's where that's definitely has my attention right now, the whole Mitchell Robinson situation.
It does. And let's pivot to Mitchell Robinson. Mr. Mitchell Robinson. It's a hot topic right now. Very hot topic regarding, you know, rumors are swirling. Obviously on X is a lot of people, depends what spectrum do you fall on. Do you see a lot of people not agreeing with the fact that the Knicks are shopping Mitchell Robinson? Or I see a lot of people saying, good riddance. I don't want Mitchell Robinson no more because he's always hurt and he's unreliable on the offensive end and this and that. My take on Mitchell Robinson is I always knew he was the next. Look, once Isaiah Hartenstein ascended to our starting center and ascended to pretty much our starting five was elite in January, once that happened, that made Mitchell Robinson expendable. Then came back Mitchell Robinson, played extremely well versus the Philadelphia 76ers, guarded Joel Embiid extremely well. Let's not forget about that.
Yep.
But then, remember the first couple of games versus Indiana? It looked all right. And then he got hurt. And then it's like, yeah. Can you rely on Mitchell Robinson? So I came into this summer. I'm not going to lie to you. I already, in my head, I've already traded Mitchell Robinson off this team.
Damn.
I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I wish. I've already pictured a scenario where he's traded to another team. That's just my opinion. Of course, that is if Isaiah Hartenstein resigns. That is just my opinion. I've already liked, look, he's on the Knicks, but his contract is such a tradable contract. And everyone's talking about running it back. You don't really like run it back. Like with the core pieces, yeah, you kind of you want to keep that intact. But do teams really like run it back? Like Boston, they lost last year. They tinkered this year. They won the championship. That's one scenario. But look, it's just look. I've already traded him in my head.
I get what you mean about the running back. It's like with the core. You run it back with the core per se.
Yeah.
You can argue is Mitchell Robinson a part of the core or was a part of the core? I mean, you can argue that. But it's like you said, right? With Mitchell Robinson, you know, look, you can't forget what he did against Joel Embiid. You know, he shut down a Joel Embiid. And who knows, if not for a few plays here and there that, you know, he probably re-aggravated his injury, made things worse, and ended his season ultimately down the road. You know, Mitchell Robinson could have been there for us in the Pacers series and probably helped us. But that is the knock on Mitchell Robinson, right? He's always injured, never gives us a full season or close to a full season. And you kind of want to start going away from players that are always hurt, right? Especially if you're going to have someone like an OG Anunoby who's, you know, has the same type of track record, right? You don't want to end up with a bunch of guys who are just constantly hurt over and over and over. So I get it from that aspect, wanting to, you know, see what you could get from Mitchell Robinson. And it also doesn't hurt that his salary is, you know, probably one of the better contracts we have to make a deal out there. So, you know, outside of Bogdanovich, right? So yeah. It's tough, man. Part of me wants to keep Mitchell Robinson because when healthy, but again, that's the key word, when healthy, him and Ihart in that paint, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. Ihart leaves, Mitch comes in, and vice versa. Any team would love to have that type of a tandem. But the reality is, he's always hurt. So, I don't know, man. I'm conflicted with that one.
Yeah, I mean, look, Mitchell Robinson next year is getting paid $14 million, and then 25-26, he's getting paid $12 million. I'm seeing a lot of Zach Edey in the chat. That name has been linked to the Knicks as well, but I feel like Zach Edey won't be there when the Knicks pick. Yeah. I would like Zach Edey. He's kind of a raw prospect. But Yeah, going back to Mitch Robinson, the Wizards, this graphic I put up on the screen, Wizards are among the teams that have trade talks with the Knicks involving Mitch Robinson. Then he says, I'm sure several other teams have talked to New York about Robinson. The Grizzlies have been linked to Mitchell Robinson. Look, I think the Knicks kind of want to kind of tinker their bench a little bit because I think they want five shooters at the on the floor that can shoot at all times, right? I feel like, look, Mitch is great, right? He's a great defender, great offensive rebounder. I mean, the best offensive rebounder in the NBA, who was dominating early on in the season, if we don't remember. But, yep. Yeah, he was good. But, I mean, that foot injury just put a damper in things. And, look, he's still young. He's, what, 26 years old. And I just feel like I've already traded this guy in my head. And, like, I know I love Mitchell Robinson, but I just feel like if the Knicks are going to tinker with their team and not, you know, touch the core, you got to do what you got to do, right? It's a business.
Yeah.
Celtics last year, they traded Marcus Smart. They traded the center, Williams, I think his name is.
To Portland. Robert Williams.
Robert Williams, right? And obviously, I'm not comparing a trade package, but I'm just saying, like, That's why his name has been in these trade rumors, because teams know that this is the guy that the Knicks are going to trade next. And I don't know.
No, yeah. I mean, look, putting all my, love for Mitchell Robinson aside, I even think we mentioned it in our, like, season recap pod, where we were like, it's just probably the one that's going to be the odd man out simply because of his salary, the contract, and what we could do with it, right?
Yeah.
So what do you think the Knicks are looking for in a return for in a Mitchell Robinson trade? You know, or you think they're trying to go with a big who can, maybe provide some shooting at the corners, you know, maybe like something similar to what you see KP doing out there for the Celtics, right? Do we want somebody like that? Do we need do you see them going out just for more like just depth in general? What are your thoughts on what we could get from Mitchell Robinson?
Yeah, S550, what's going on, man? If you look at the teams that has been linked to Mitchell Robinson, the Wizards and the Grizzlies, has there been another team linked to Mitchell Robinson that we don't know about? I've only seen the Wizards.
I think those were it so far.
Those are even in the chat. If you've seen other teams that have been linked, let us know. But let's go to the Wizards, right? The Wizards. Like, I've seen a lot of things about Kuzma. I don't think that's happening. Who I would aim for is two players, Deni Avdija or Marvin Bagley. Those are the two players I would aim for if I were running the Knicks. You agree?
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that Deni Avdija definitely is intriguing.
You can say he kind of is like a, not a bogey clone, but, you know, they both shoot the three really well. You can never have enough three-point shooters. I mean, look at the
Celtics. He can handle the ball a little bit too, apparently. But, you know, that's pretty intriguing. And Marvin Bagley, I don't know about too much. Kind of fell off my radar.
Well, remember, he was drafted high and then he got traded, and then Wizards took a chance on him, had some moments. He's, again, another durability issue. He has a durability problem.
That's what I remember about him. He was kind of like, see, that's the type of guy I don't want. Like, I get the high upside, but that's like repeating Mitch all over again, right?
But he has more of a offensive game, and he's still fairly young, right? He has some potential, maybe. But I'm just looking at players that, you know, I would target if I were. And somebody said New Orleans as well. So, yeah, those are the players on the Wizards that I would target. Buzzer Beater says no Bagley in the chat.
There we go. New Orleans is kind of surprising, though. I mean, I've been hearing a lot about the, you know, Brandon Ingram being available and whatnot. But again, you're talking about another player who's injury prone and always getting hurt. So,
yeah,
you know. And do you want Brandon Ingram on the Knicks?
I saw a graphic that Josh Hart and Julius Randle have already played with Ingram two separate times, one in L.A.
Yep, Lakers, New Orleans. Orleans. Right?
And that would be crazy if he comes to the
Knicks. To be Knicks.
But no, I mean, no. I mean, that's not the type of player I would go for. But, yeah. You know, that's just, yeah, it's not that. All right, let's go to Memphis, Chris. Who's out there in Memphis that you think the Knicks would target? We heard the lottery pick.
Oh, man, Memphis.
Luke Kennard has been a name on Memphis. Another three-point sniper, specialist. You know, you keep.
I'm wondering who else they would make available, though, you know?
But you see the trend here. It's three-point shooters, bigger guys, lengthy players. Those are players that have length, excuse me, can defend a little bit. More of an offensive game. So, I don't know. It's one of those hot topics right now. Mitchell Robinson.
Do you see a scenario where the Knicks end up just keeping Mitch? Or do you think this is... I mean, I know in your head, like you said, he's already traded. He's off this team. But is there a scenario where you think, you know, the Knicks keep him?
Yeah, let me answer that before. Let's hit some of these comments and I'll answer that. Tango says, in order for us to go to the next level, we have to trade Mitch and a few other smaller pieces. We have to get better and try to avoid the apron.
Yeah.
John says, Washington's not going to give up Advia, a young guy on a good contract. Nick Yak says, so Hartenstein can't protect the boards without OG. Mitch never gave up 60 paint points. Hit him up, says Atlanta. His name has been linked as well to Mitchell Robinson. The only guy I would maybe want on Atlanta is Murray, but I don't know if the Knicks want to go down that road.
I do. Yeah. I'm still intrigued by DeJounte Murray, man. And come on, that late
it's the contract. It's the contract made. Too.
It is the contract, but you know, I still think there's a lot there, especially with DeJounte Murray. I wouldn't mind taking a swing at that.
CM in the chat and S550 says Tyus Jones. He could run the second unit. What were the Knicks missing, really? Obviously, McBride took major steps in the playoffs, but yeah. Tyus Jones, Chris. I mean, yeah, Washington. You have Tyus Jones, you have Bagley, or you have Advia. I would think the Knicks would maybe try to get out of that group Bagley, but Tyus Jones is intriguing as well. I'm trying to look up his contract, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's another area where I think the Knicks could use some help, right? That backup guard that could spell some time for Brunson, and he definitely fits the bill, in my opinion. You know, he could run the team, initiate the offense. That one's a good one, too. I mean, I think we'd have to add a little bit to get a player like that. I think he's a younger player, so... That might be a good name to watch too. I mean, it would definitely check off one of the check boxes as far as what I think the Knicks need moving forward, which is we definitely need a backup power forward and some backup point guard depth.
We do. If I'm not mistaken, I think Tyus Jones is a free agent, if I'm not mistaken. But I don't know if he's restricted or an unrestricted. If those of you in the chat know. He was
restricted.
Please, no, he's unrestricted.
Oh.
Yeah, he's an unrestricted free agent. So maybe he could work out a side and chain. But those are, you see the trend. Those are the, what we see so far. Look, reporters are reporting it. Jake Fisher, Ian Begley, respect the reporters that the Knicks are listening to offers from Mitchell Robinson. Obviously, if the Knicks decide to go with a center in this coming draft this week, then kind of gives them some insurance just in case, you know, a trade were to go down, or just in case Hartenstein decides to go to OKC. But what was the question you asked me before, Chris?
You see a scenario where the New York Knicks keep Mitchell Robinson and don't trade him?
I do. I don't. I'm sorry. I don't. I don't. I feel like he's going to be on the move this summer. I just feel like I just have a gut feeling, like sort of what Obi Toppin last year, where I thought that he was going to be on the move. I could be wrong. I just feel like Mitch is that next domino to fall. And in the right trade package, I feel like the Knicks will get it done. Buzzer beater with the super chat. Appreciate you. Why doesn't Mikal Bridges demand a trade to the New York Knicks? Mikal Bridges talk. Well, because the Nets have decided to keep Mikal Bridges and they want to build around Mikal Bridges. They've already turned down offers with what, Chris? 4 first round picks for Bridges, but.
You know, yeah. It's funny because they've kind of flip-flopped here and there as of recently. And there was talks of swapping who was it? Oh, man, I can't remember. But they had softened up on their stance on trading Bridges. Now mm-hmm. It's not so much of a they won't do it, they're listening. But I doubt they're going to get an offer like they got, you know, four first-round picks and things like that. But let's be real, man. They're just not going to do a deal with the New York Knicks. And I don't think Bridges is the type of guy that wants to, you know, ruffle any feathers and demand trades and get that, like, diva label stuck on him, per se. I think he's just more of a laid-back, even-keeled type of dude. And, you know, unless things are going terribly, terribly bad on the Nets, which you can argue that, yes, they are. But, you know, he's the main guy there. And unless things change there and they really piss him off, I don't see him just saying, hey, trade me to the New York Knicks.
Yeah. So, yeah, pretty much I'll be really surprised if that were to happen. John says Mitch is gone. They got to trade him to save money on cap. Look, it's going to get expensive, especially if you re-sign OG Anunoby and Isaiah Hartenstein. So, and it's looking like the Knicks are going to pick up the option on Bogdanovich. So once they do that, obviously they would want to. If they do that, I feel like Bogey is a valuable trade piece. Obviously, in the playoffs, he was. Chris and I were at game one versus the Philadelphia 76ers, and he was awesome. Like, he was hitting his shots, veteran leadership, can still, you know, do his thing on the offensive end. Defense is still like a question mark. Look, he's an older player. Give him some slack. But it's looking like they're going to pick up that option, Chris, and probably use him in a trade package, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Mike says, whoa, whoa, whoa. How come I ain't know that you was live? What's going on, Mike? Yeah, man. Live streaming. Appreciate every single one of you for popping on here tonight. It's been a while. It's been a few weeks, but we decided to talk about all the rumors. We're talking about Mitch Robinson now. We talked about the extensions early on, but appreciate you in here. SFR50 says, assuming Mitch goes, should we go for a backup big in free agency or in the draft? I know Thibs is not a fan of rookies. LOL. Yeah, there was the Orlando Magic free agent. Who's I forgot his name that was linked to the Knicks today. Ian Begley tweeted it. He's not necessarily. He's a big. I forgot his name. His name is not coming to me. But yeah, so. If they trade Mitch, they're gonna have to address that situation, Chris. You know?
Yeah. And that's kind of what I feel will happen if they do trade Mitch. I feel like they're gonna pivot away from the defensive minded center type and maybe mm-hmm. go with someone more offensively focused that can stretch the floor a bit more. You know? That's what I'm thinking. But it'll suck to see Mitch go, but you know, it's the most logical piece, in my opinion, that can be moved in a deal. And I think maybe even he gets dealt during the trade, during the draft. I mean,
yeah, it was Goga. That was Goga Batadze. That was
really
that was his name. That was
I don't know if I like that.
Hey, you know, that's
I mean,
that's
it's big if, body, but
that's obviously look, that's a scenario if the Knicks decide to trade Mitchell Robinson, right? Look, we can also draft a project as well. But like S550 said in the chat, you really think Tom Thibodeau is going to look? He could. We've seen a different Thibs. You know, if he's good, he's gonna play. And there's some okay centers in this draft that could shoot, that could score. So yeah, I mean, we just you know it's a waiting game now. And this is from Jake Fisher. The Knicks have contacted opposing teams about trading Mitchell Robinson. Then he says Hartenstein at this moment is now genuinely expected to return to New York. as the Knicks have contacted opposing teams about moving Mitchell Robinson. There appears to be a wide range of starting caliber big men available for trade. So, yeah, Chris, I mean, if I were to give you a percentage on a Mitchell Robinson trade, where would you put it at?
I'd say 65%.
65? Yeah, I'll give it like a 75. 75% chance Mitchell Robinson gets traded. Obviously, if Isaiah Hartenstein leaves, then hello, Mitchell Robinson, you are the starting center of the New York Knicks again. But we're not expecting that to happen. So,
yeah, I like, again, like I mentioned before, I have more confidence right now with iHeart resigning than I do with OG Anunoby at the moment. You know, I'm positive. I'm still optimistic, I'll say, on OG, but, you know, I was kind of hoping the Knicks would get that hammered out ASAP. I thought it was going to be one of those, all right, playoffs are over, finals are over, boom, OG Anunoby is resigned. But never happens that way for me, man.
Yeah. So, look, obviously we just have to wait and see. And we're going to hear something in these next couple of weeks, man. I mean, especially draft, and you got free agency after that. And then we're going to see the OG Anunoby news and the Hartenstein news. And then probably a little bit after that, we'll know for sure where the Knicks go. But I thought this was interesting, Chris. I guess we can pivot to Mr. Paul George. I've heard on the Windhorse podcast that the Knicks are a team to watch in the Paul George sweepstakes. Then who came out with it? I think Steinline came out with it today, that the Knicks are a team to keep an eye on regarding Paul George. Now, the only way this can happen is if Paul George opts into his player option. And Paul George is expected to opt into his player option because it's looking like the Philadelphia 76ers are going to pivot away from Paul George, which I don't know why. It could be them just putting out smoke in the media. But then, obviously, we heard the New York Knicks get linked to Paul George. And then I thought about something. I thought about Julius Randle. Remember Julius Randle, I think, was last year interviewed with Paul George, sat down with him in his podcast. Yep. And Paul George asked him, what is it like to play in New York? Is it that popping in New York? And then Randle gave his answer. And I was like, oh, you know, there's nothing, right? There's nothing.
Kind of probably scared him away a little bit with Tibbs.
And then Paul George talked highly about Brunson. Then I started thinking about how it would get done, right? So who would have the leverage? Paul George. The Clippers wouldn't have the leverage. I think the Knicks would probably try to work something without giving up Julius Randle. If this weather case, we're just talking right now, we're just talking about rumors. It would probably be Mitchell Robinson. Bogdanovich would pick up that option, include him in the trade. I think you have to add someone else to make the money work, maybe even a deuce. That's if you weren't going to give up a Julius Randle. Then if you do that, let's say you hit accept and Paul George demands a trade to the New York Knicks, and then you give them picks and whatever they want. I mean, regarding picks, I tweeted at Chris and I saw a lot of people saying, no, thanks, I don't want Paul George. But let me tell you guys, if you were to keep Julius Randle and you were to trade for Paul George, your lineup would be insane. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, right off the rap, what you're going to hear is, you know, injuries. Yeah. And then, yeah, that is the case. I mean, Paul George did play 74 games this past season, which is great in my opinion for Paul George. But, you know, that's a risk factor you take. But there is no doubt in my mind, and I've been a big PG-13, you know, believer. I've always wanted him to come to the Knicks whenever I've heard any rumor. I just think you add him and it answers a lot of questions the Knicks have, you know, outside of Jalen Brunson, right? You get a shot creator, you get somebody who can facilitate, play make, defend. You know, yeah, he's not, you know, primetime Paul George and all that, but he still gets the job done, especially in clutch time. He's a closer.
And he's another guy to throw out Boston, right? That's the team you got to beat. Boston, obviously, you know, these rumors like this.
Go ahead. Who could match up with Jason Tatum?
Yeah. Look, your lineup would be crazy. I mean, I'm looking Brunson, George, Ananobi, Randall, and Isaiah Hartenstein. I mean, that lineup would be absolutely insane. And then you figure out your bench from there. Obviously, Devo would go to the bench. You still have Josh Hart. So it's not really nothing to figure out. But yeah, but I know that the Clippers would probably haggle over Julius Randle. And then that's when I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. But look.
Or not. You never know.
Or not, because
they could want to reset in a sense, right?
Yeah, because James Harden's a free agent. What if he bounces, you know?
Exactly.
So then you're stuck with Kawhi Leonard, and who never plays. And then you're moving into a new arena. So
it could be that, or they're looking for, you know, some kind of salary relief in a sense, in a way for them to just pivot, you know, see what other stars they can now put around Kawhi. Could be something like that.
Yeah. John says PG is a big no for me. Too old, and you think OG injury prone. What you think PG not? Look, I know durability is a question with Paul George, but Chris just laid it out there. Well, how many he played 70 plus games? He was, you know,
74 games
played throughout the postseason with the Clippers. And look, you got to take risks. I mean, Celtics, look at them. I mean, I know they essentially made a risk in trading for Porzingis, ultimately got hurt again. But, you know, it's just it's whatever makes your team better. The goal is to beat the Boston Celtics. That's the goal. And I know a lot of people wanted to see this Knicks team fully healthy, try to match up with the Boston Celtics. But Boston, look, they're a great team, man. They're an absolute juggernaut. Great team over there. They're going to be great for a while too, which is scary. That's, you know,
that team.
So that's the team you got to beat, Boston. And if you don't need to give up Julius Randle, I think you got to do this. You know, I saw a lot of people saying Kevin Durant may be the guy that the Knicks could try to target or something like that. But that's just a no for me with KD, you know. I don't know.
I think that ship has sailed with KD. Yeah. You know, like he's in Phoenix. I highly doubt Phoenix is gonna let him go anyway. But you know, look, Paul George makes a lot of sense. I get it.
It's the one injuries, year too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know? It's not something that, you know. Like I said, if the Clippers are looking to pivot, maybe they're looking to go a different route with Kawhi on the roster. Maybe they don't re-sign Harden, or Harden signs for a lesser deal, whatever the case may be. You know, I think us getting Paul George would be huge. Again, 3-and-D type of player. You know, he can take over games. We've seen it happen to us. We've seen it happen, you know, throughout last season as well. He still has a lot in the tank, in my opinion. You know, and why not take a shot?
Paul George is 34, just turned 34 in May. So he'll be 34 from the start of the season. And he won't turn 35 until next year. So, look, guys, all I'm saying is a lineup of George with Brunson, with Ananobi, with Randall, and Isaiah Hartenstein. That's an elite lineup, man. That's a championship team, you know. You get insurance with Ananobi. If Ananobi goes down, hello, you still got Paul George, still got Josh Hart, still got DiVincenzo. If Paul George goes down, I'm not saying this, I'm just saying you got Ananobi, you know, you got guys, you know.
Yeah.
You know, he's big, 3-and-D guy, can create his own shot, can take the load off Jalen Brunson. Then you got Randall. Man, I'm getting excited, but.
Yeah, you know, it's like when you look at those combinations, how can you not get excited, right?
I just think the Clippers will want Randall, you know.
That's, I almost don't see the fit, you know. That's the only thing. I don't see the fit. But, you know, I know Kawhi is pretty much locked up there. I just have a feeling that maybe they're looking to go a different way. And maybe that's the reason why Paul George hasn't got an extension there, you know. They were talking about PG getting close to similar to what, you know, Kawhi got. And I'm thinking he wants a little bit more, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, we'll see, man. I mean, it's interesting. The Knicks have been mentioned multiple times now. So,
and they've been trying to get Paul. I think it was last year they were linked to Paul George too.
Yeah, they kicked the tires on Paul George last year. That's when I got super excited, thinking that, you know, hey, is it possible? But, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire, right?
Bodega says, what's going on, Bodega? His contract is crazy. Pass on Paul George. Question is, how do we pay Paul George? He's expensive.
Yeah.
You figure that out next summer, you know? If you were to get him this summer, I think, what is his cap hit? Like 40-something million dollars this year? Yeah. Obviously, you would ship out Mitch Bogdanovich. And I think you got to ship out one more person to kind of make that match. But what are you after you get Paul George and you pair him with Randall and Brunson and Ananobi? You're a championship team, you know? That's what you are. A lot of people think that now the Knicks are on the brink, you know, of being that. But still need one more piece. And, you know, Paul George's name hasn't been linked to the Knicks. So
I think Paul George cements it, you know, if they were able to get a hold of him. So, yeah, no, salary is high. I believe it's, what, 45 or 48?
48 million.
So, you know, again, this it would have to be a series of events. You know, he would have to opt in, like you mentioned, and then request a trade, right, to the Knicks.
Yeah.
So, you know, still a lot of hurdles for it to just even happen, but I'm holding out hope, man, because I think he could be part of the solution, you know?
Yeah. Khaled says Paul George would opt in and he got 1 year left. If he sucks, then you let him go next summer. If he wins you a chip, then you pay him next summer. Works regardless. CM says, give me one chip. Look.
Yeah.
All the leverage would be on Paul George. If he requests a trade to the Knicks and the Knicks were somehow to get that done, maybe you entice them with some picks. Look, you ain't got no leverage. Paul George is leaving anyway. What are you going to do? I mean,
yeah.
They could probably hold him hostage like the Philadelphia 76ers tried to do with James Harden. How did that work out? He ultimately got to where he wanted to go. And look, got a boatload of picks. I'm just saying that's a name to watch. You add Paul George to this Knicks team, to this Knicks core, then we're rolling. You know, then we're rolling. But, you know, I don't know, because I just saw a lot of people like kind of like injury prone, older side. I don't want Paul George. And I was kind of surprised, but you know, I get it too. A lot of people don't want to touch these, you know, fragile superstar players. But look, I mean, Paul George is an amazing player.
You know? Yeah, I would take a gamble of Paul George. You know, I get it though.
You take that year.
Yeah, but I get it too. The way that the season ended, you know, you had the Knicks battling out there, just guys dropping like flies. Basically, I understand it. Not wanting guys that are going to get hurt. Granted, a lot of these, you know, injuries were freak injuries, you know, that couldn't be avoided really. But, you know, you got to take these types of risks and chances every now and then in order to get where you want to go, in my opinion, you know. So it makes a lot of sense. If you're telling me you can give up Mitch, maybe who else? Who did you say, Bogdanovich and Deuce? It would hurt to do that. But you get to keep Julius Randle.
I don't know. Deuce
get would hurt. Paul George.
Deuce would hurt.
Deuce would hurt, man. But you know, come on. It's
yeah.
It's worthwhile.
John says, so you want to trade all your picks and multiple guys to match contracts for a 34-year-old injury prone guy that has not won anything.
Hey, I didn't say all picks.
No, you're not gonna look. Like I said, you're not gonna trade
Bogdanovich and Deuce.
You wouldn't trade a lot of stuff to the Clippers because they wouldn't hold any leverage. I mean, if you're already thinking about trading Mitchell Robinson, you trade Mitchell Robinson. Bogdanovich, I mean, you pick up that salary, you trade him to the Clippers. You make the money work, Deuce. The Clippers are not gonna like that deal. They're gonna be like, no, nah, I'm not trading Paul George for Bogey, Mitch, and Deuce. they're going to try to trade him somewhere else. So
if they didn't want Deuce and they wanted picks or a pick, then okay, that could be changed.
No, but you have to make the money work with Deuce. Like, you, because I think the Clippers are, would be an apron team, and you can't, you have to match the money. So, yeah.
I'm sure they could find a way to match and keep Deuce.
Yeah, but look, sometimes it hurts to trade people to, in order to get better. But that's just a Paul George situation, whether or not you think that's going to get done. I feel like if that were an option, that's something to watch, because I feel like that would make us a championship team. If you were to bring in a Paul George with this lineup, that would be absolutely crazy. Yeah. Anything else we want to touch on with Paul George, Chris?
No, man. I think he's worth the gamble. I get all the, you know, the other side of it too, mm-hmm. being an older star, but he is a star. He is still a star. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. So, look, guys, draft is coming up, and I'm excited. We finally get to watch the Knicks, you know, pick a player in the first round. It's been a couple of years, but and then obviously that player will play in the summer league and things like that. But look, there's still a lot of work to be done with this team. The Boston Celtics won the championship, as painful as it hurts me to say that, but they were the best team in the NBA all season. There's a reason why they were number one. They traded for Jrue Holiday. They got Porzingis, two players. Remember last year, Chris, two players who we kind of wanted the Knicks to trade for, yep. but you know, they were the best team in the NBA. And right now, that's the team you got to beat, the Boston Celtics. That's the team you got to take out. And Knicks got work to do, but I trust the front office, man. I trust this front office. I trust Leon Rose. I trust Tom Thibodeau. His extension is probably going to come up soon. So I trust the guys.
Yeah, look, yeah. Our track record so far with this front office and coming, you know, when it comes to drafts and making moves in general, usually has worked out. So I have all the faith in the world in the front office, and you know, I'm waiting to see what happens come draft night, man. I think we're gonna make a trade. You know, whether that's trading up in the draft, trading down. We've heard some speculation the Knicks were thinking about possibly trading up. For who? I don't know, but yeah, man, I can't wait for draft night just to see what the Knicks do.
Yeah. Nick Yak says, how are you replacing Mitch, paying George and re-signing Hardenstein and OG? Please answer, not to mention Brunson and Randall next year need money. It's going to get expensive, guys. This team is going to get expensive. But one thing I know is that the apron is you don't want to go to the apron where you start to, you know, lose draft picks and you start to get fined and whatnot. But if it all depends on JB, it all depends on if Jalen Brunson, remember a few weeks ago, I think a report came out that he's willing to extend for way less than what he would get in free agency with the New York Knicks if he was to wait until next year. That right there, Chris, if he were to do that, give back, sort of.
That unlocks everything.
You know? It unlocks everything. It unlocks a lot of money, you know? And Julius Randle, I know Randle's due for an extension, but you don't know how he's going to react off that shoulder injury. And I think, you know, he said on the Carmelo Anthony podcast that he's way ahead of schedule. So we love to hear that. But you know, we just don't know how Randall's going to react, you know, to the shoulder surgery. I'm hoping for the best, but he's due for an extension. So things are going to get expensive, but new TV deals going to come. The cap is going to rise, and it all depends on if Jalen Brunson takes what was it, like $100 million less or something like that? Something crazy. Yeah. If you were to wait.
It was a big cut, but I think it's more so, you know, I mean, it's more of what you love about Jalen Brunson, right? It's kind of like the, hey, I'm young, you know, I want to win here. Let's get the pieces around us that so that we can win. And then you guys will take care of me after, type of deal. You know, if Jalen Brunson accepts an extension like that and doesn't wait to get the Supermax, that quite frankly, I think he'll get no matter what. you know, just because he's that damn good. That's what more can you say about Jalen Brunson if he accepts an extension just to help out the team and get more guys to sign? That'd be awesome.
Awesome. Yeah. So, look, it's good. It's going to get expensive, you know, but the Knicks are, you know, they have a great front office. They have a great, you know, cap guru. And I feel like they'll work their way around it. And I do think JB will, I don't know, if anyone wants to do that, it'll be Jalen Brunson, man. If anyone wants to do that, I mean, he's awesome. And if he wants to do that to kind of free up some cap space, to kind of make the Knicks acquire more players, to make our team better, and the ultimate goal is to win a championship, you just got to give him the utmost respect, you know? I mean, you're talking about turning down a lot of money, guys. A lot of money. So,
yeah.
But it is to be determined, to be seen. It was just a report that was out there. So
it wouldn't surprise me, though. I mean, considering how connected, you know, the families are, you know, Brunson, he has his pops there, you know, they're all intertwined in the organization, right?
Yeah.
Would it just be something like, hey, JB, would you consider this? And he's like, yeah, if X, Y, and Z happens. And maybe that's why you're not hearing a lot of, you know, chatter out there. Maybe they're, you know, playing out different scenarios. If we keep this guy or this guy resigns and we go out, maybe we can get this guy, fit him into this. You know, it could be that type of thing, right? Where if things don't go according to plan per se, maybe JB decides, I won't take, you know, maybe I won't do the extension. Maybe I'll wait till later or whatever the case may be. It could be something along the lines of that too, you know?
Yeah. So we just got to wait and see. It's a fun week. Rumors swirling. Mitchell Robinson, yeah. Hartenstein, Anunoby. Nothing is done yet. I would expect the Tom Thibodeau extension to come soon this summer. And Nick signed Maurice Cheeks as a Tom Thibodeau assistant. Former. So
did that scare you initially? Because it concerned me, man.
No.
I thought Johnny Bryan was out of here.
Oh, yeah, with Johnny Bryan? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. I thought Johnny Bryan was out of here, too. I was like, no. Please stay, Johnny.
I think it was Ian Begley, I believe, that reported it, saying that, hey, this doesn't mean anybody is out. Everybody's staying. He's just an addition. So I was like, all right. Let's see what Maurice Cheeks brings to this team, right?
Yeah, let's see. Let me answer. Buzzer Rita says, Anthony, why the heck would you want Bagley? He plays 40 games per year. Buzzer Rita is still on this Marvin Bagley stuff. Look, I just like guys that have some potential and then just haven't reached it yet. Haven't, you know, sought out their potential yet. But look, that's pie in the sky. I don't think the Knicks would want Bagley, you know. Who I want and who the Knicks want are like... Like, I play 2K, and, like, I just trade for the guys I want. But, yeah, I know Bagley's always hurt, and it's stupid. I'll probably look back at this podcast episode and say that was a stupid trade for me.
I still remember Marvin Bagley coming out, you know, off the draft, and I was like, man, this dude is probably going to be good. And then he wasn't.
Yeah.
So he fell out of my radar, like I said, and I was like, this dude is just always hurt.
Always heard. All right, let's hit some of these comments before we get to trivia. I got an easy trivia question for Chris that he'll probably get right in the first shot. Callis says, get me Paul George without giving up Randle and you got a true championship contender. Yeah. The question is how the Knicks would get that done. So, yeah, Paul George on this team with this in this lineup moves Dante to the bench, moves Hart to the bench, back to the bench, and you kind of figure out the bench, figure out the next two guys, and you got a championship team. But Isaiah says, I think we need to stop overrating OG Anunoby.
Ooh.
Wow. But, Nicky, what do you got to say about that?
I don't think you can overrate him, man. Yeah. The proof is in the – I mean, our record with him was insane. There's just no denying that. And you're talking about somebody who was not thrilled that OG Anunoby was coming over for RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickly. That was me. I called him a slight upgrade over RJ Barrett. So, look, I'm a believer now. I'll tell you that. He's not overrated. I get it. He's not an all-star or anything like that, a star. But the impact he has on the game, all the small things that he does when he's out there on the court, there's no replacing that. And you're not going to find many wings that do what he does. As simple as that.
He's going to get paid.
If there was more wings like that, they would forget it. There just isn't. Paul George is actually another type of wing that's similar to in his prime to OG Anunoby. Those guys do not come around often.
Defensively, yeah. Paul George right now has more, obviously, better
offensive. Well, obviously, offensively, his game. But coming in initially, Paul George wasn't the offensive force he was. But he became that. I mean, you saw flashes from OG Anunoby. It doesn't look pretty, but the ball is going in the basket, right? So there's still a lot of growth there for OG, in my opinion.
And he looked great. He looked great in the playoffs, man. He did look great. All right.
Don't forget that revenge dunk he got at Embiid, man.
Yeah. OG is not overrated at all. Like, OG is amazing. OG is amazing. Ortiz says, I really want Ryan Dunn and Zach Edey. All right, Chris, prediction. Who do you think the Knicks go with
this draft? I've been hearing a lot about Ryan Dunn. I've heard Zach Edey as well, but I just don't think he's going to last. Just the height alone is going to be a factor in him getting drafted early. I think Toronto's aiming for him as well. So, I think Ryan Dunn, I see a lot of that getting falling to the Knicks at 24. Mm-hmm. And again, a guy who's not really offensively polished and kind of struggles on that end, but high motor defensively. Gets lots of blocks. Probably a good, guy to get if you're trading a Mitchell Robinson per se. So that'd be my guess. And I think the Knicks end up trading the 25th.
In this final mock draft, CBS Sports came out with a spot final mock draft. They have the Knicks taking Tyler Kolek from Marquette at pick 24. He's a point guard. He could shoot three really well. 15 points per game. He's from Marquette. And then pick 25, they have Ryan Dunn going to the Knicks. I've seen Ryan Dunn's name linked to the Knicks for a while now. So, look, he has potential offensively. He needs a little work. He's raw offensively. Defensively, he's one of the best defenders in this coming draft. So, I don't think Edey will last. Yes, Knicks ran out of steam. I like that YouTube channel name. Khalil Ware could be an option. I heard of Khalil Ware. He's a big that can score. He's a big that can score, and that's an option as well. So, but I think Ryan Dunn is going to be a New York Knick this week. We shall see. And yeah, so I think he'll be a Knick, hopefully. I like Ryan Dunn. It's just offensively he got some work to do.
Do you think the Knicks end up picking two players?
If they don't have anything lined up with Mitchell Robinson, then I feel like they do. If they don't have anything lined up, it has to deal with the Mitchell Robinson trade. If the Knicks decide to trade Mitchell Robinson, then I feel like one of those picks will be included, maybe. But I feel like they do, get some youth in here, reset the contracts a little bit, and then, bring them on in our development system. The Knicks have had great success with players drafted in the 20s, quickly.
Yeah.
So the Knicks, their scouting system is good. So
I do. Shocking to say that.
It's good. S550 says, I definitely would like to get a very athletic player off the bench. Wouldn't mind seeing the Knicks create more lob threats. Yeah.
Yeah. It's something we should have seen a lot more with Mitch out there, but unfortunately never really happened for whatever reason.
Yeah, I think in the playoffs, the Knicks were like, I saw the number. It was in the teens. They didn't have that many lobs. Like, Mitch was open, though. I saw a lot of plays where Mitch was open for lobs, but
just got to lob it up.
A few times Brunson missed him. So, yeah, he's a big lob threat, but the Knicks really never took advantage of that. But we'll see if Mitch is on the team in these next few weeks. We shall see. All right, Chris, you want to get some trivia?
Yes.
It's easy. I'm telling you right now, it's easy.
That put pressure on me because if I mess it up, then,
Wait, where are you?
I'm gone.
You're not even in the frame.
That's how easy it was.
Let me put you in the frame. I don't even know where you are. There we go.
I'm back.
Let me make you a... All right, whatever. I'll just put you in the frame. Who was the last Knicks draft pick to make the All-Star team? NBA draft is this week. Thought I'd give you a layup question. Is it A, Mark Jackson, B, Kristaps Porzingis, C, Danilo Gallinari, or D, David Lee?
This is too easy. It is C, Danilo Gallinari. No, I'm kidding. It's B, Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah. Easy question. I'm not going to lie to you.
And shortly after that, got injured and all our hopes and dreams went down the drain.
Honestly, just wanted to ask you this question to kind of talk about. Were you upset seeing Kristaps Porzingis win a championship?
This might not be a popular take, but I was actually very happy for him. I was very happy for KP. You know, it's no secret. He's, he's talked about his time in New York, kind of owned up to being immature, making bad decisions, listening to people he shouldn't have. You know, part of the reason why I wish he got re-signed by the Knicks, kind of, you know, a redemption arc, if anything. But You know what? I still think KP is a good dude. You know, he's battled injury after injury, and to see him win it, you know, it was good. It was good seeing him win it. Not so much the rest of the Boston Celtics crew, but for KP at least, I was happy.
Yeah, I don't know.
You kind
of torn. I had a lot of emotions, man. I just had a lot of emotions watching that. It's just. One, because I wanted the Knicks to get him last year. And I was like, damn. Like, Boston got him. Obviously, injury history was a concern. He played extremely well. Didn't really... I mean, he finished the finals. But, yeah, I mean, I guess so, man. It just stinks. What am I happy for him, I guess.
Hey, look, he was a major X factor for the Celtics. And... I had a friend who was a Celtics fan. I even told him, I was like, his health will determine everything.
Yeah.
Because with him on the court, it changes things. You can't deny that. He's just a 7'3" threat from half court even. You know, he just stretches the floor so much. Very underrated rim protector at times, you know. He does a lot. And he gave Boston just enough to seal the deal, so... I'm happy for KP, man. We got a few ex-Knicks on that Boston Celtics team,
I know.
Who else? Luke Kornet also won a ring.
Luke Kornet, man. Won that ring.
Once a Knick, always a Knick, right?
Hey. So, yeah, that's the team to be, guys, Boston. So, in the next few weeks, you'll see how the Knicks front office is moving, how they're going to operate. We still got, we're still waiting on Ananobi. We're still waiting on Hartenstein. Draft is this weekend. It's this week, so that should be exciting. But I did put up a poll in the chat. I said, what do you think will happen in the next few weeks? I said Ananobi / Hartenstein resigns, or Ananobi and or Hartenstein walk, Paul George trade, Mitchell Robinson trade. So far, it was 146 votes. Thanks for voting. Ananobi and Hartenstein re-sign is winning. It pretty much won that poll. And then in second is the Mitchell Robinson trade. So,
yeah. I think that's the key. I think that's the key to it all. You know, lock down IHAR, lock down OG, and then everything else will kind of start playing out after that.
Yeah, and then things start to get expensive, and then that's when the Knicks front office have some decisions to make regarding extensions, trades. That's why you see Mitchell Robinson's name in the trade rumors. But, yeah, draft is this week. And I'll let you guys know if I'm doing like a live stream during the draft. I'm not sure yet. But, look, we're back. Appreciate every single one of you that joined us here tonight, man. It's been a few weeks kind of enjoying summer, taking a break, you know, Knicks. I miss Knicks basketball, though. I'm not going to lie to you. But I'm still, we're still watching the roommates pod, still catching up with the fellas. Julius Randle has been out and about all over.
Yankee games. He's you know, at the stock market. Oh, yeah. He is all over the place. He looks a little awkward, man, doing some of this stuff, but you love to see him, man. You know, he's letting it be known that he loves New York, right?
Yeah, and I think him and his wife just bought a house in the Hamptons. So, you know, that's cool. Randall's enjoying his summer. You know, he's looking happy. Emotionally, he looks great. I mean, he looks like he's in good spirits. Brunson is somewhere at the shore. Josh Hart is somewhere. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure as more news pops out, you know, the Knicks will pop out as well. But, yeah, it's pretty cool seeing Randall like that. It's yeah. Right, seeing him in that element is pretty cool.
Exactly, yeah. It gives you another look to him. Like, you know, dude is human, like all of us, right? So, you know. I'm a Julius Randle guy now, by the way.
You are?
Yeah, man. He's grown on me. Now he's a part of this team. He has to be a part of, you know, to the end.
Yeah. For sure. Appreciate every single one of you hopping in here. If you haven't already subscribed to the channel, we have talked about a lot tonight. Pretty much touched on everything. Did we miss anything tonight, Chris, regarding the Knicks news?
Nothing that I could think of, man. But this was fun. I missed doing this. You know, like you said, we're taking some time off, you know, kind of resetting a bit. But hopefully, you know, after the draft or during the draft, whatever it may be, we'll be on here breaking some Knicks news. And who knows, maybe a crazy trade or two.
For sure. I'm going to try to, maybe we can live stream during as the Knicks are picking to get our, like, raw reactions of everything. But I'll let you guys know. But, yeah, this was fun. So, episode 55 in the books. Appreciate every single one of you joining us here tonight. And, yeah, we'll be back shortly. We'll be back soon. Job ain't finished. These next few weeks, these last couple of weeks are going to be very important for the New York Knicks.
Yeah.
So, we just have to wait and see. What happens? What happens next in the New York Knicks?
Can't wait. Can't wait, man.
Can't wait. I'm Anthony.
I am Chris.
We'll catch you guys next time. As always, this is Let's Go Knicks. Peace.
Peace.
Thanks for listening. Please hit that follow button to stay updated with our latest episodes. And we also greatly appreciate those 5-star reviews. For you video enthusiasts out there, head over to our YouTube channel to catch the podcast in video form. YouTube.com/KnicksNation. You'll find all the relevant links conveniently listed in the show notes below. See you next time.